Hello and welcome back to the Riverside City Podcast Season 2, Cave School. I'm Paul, your Game Master. And with me we have Natalie, who plays Mirage.
Hi.
Mike, who plays Salamander.
Hey, everybody.
And last but not least, Art, who plays Chimera.
Evening, everybody.
There we go. You may hear a small podcast member in the room. She should not be here for the back half, hopefully. All right. So, question of the day today comes from Mike. What do you got for us?
Oh, seeing as we're learning more and more about other realms.
The cosmology?
Yeah. My question is, what other realm would your character want to visit? Or, you know, seeing what we already know. So, as for Sal, I think he'd probably want to visit some kind of water world or something like that. You'd have fun there.
Like Europa, or like an actual like ball of water?
I mean,
water world with
pirates.
Art, what's your answer?
I believe I was part of me. I'm thinking it would be the ethereal plane.
So that's like one of the few that isn't a different planet. More, it's just like an extra step. On.
Yeah.
But then again, you have a friend who kind of hangs out there, so.
Oh, you just missed Loa. Got it.
No!
He could miss his friend. That's the thing. Natalie, what you got?
So I was thinking, a world where there's no humans, just animals, so she can just vibe.
Narnia.
I was thinking like Bloomburrow.
Yeah.
The planet or whatever.
Combo that.
They can still talk.
They can talk. And she'll be talking to them. She'll be talking to them, but it won't. But she won't know until like they're also hearing. And she's like, "Wait, we're in a world where animals can talk."
Alrighty.
Yes. They speak common.
They speak English for some reason.
All right. Recap from last time. Does someone else want to do it, or you want me to rip through the notes real fast?
Go for it.
You guys arrive on a world of sand. You fly up a bit and figure out that you find an arch about 40 or so miles away. It's 10 foot wide, 100 feet across, in between the 10, so like 120 total. And behind it, it's covered in runes that Chris eventually read and found out that it's some kind of rain summoner device. You guys find that there was some kind of hunting blind beyond it, which ended up having a pair of crystal weapon wielding people within it, and the portal activated, spewing out a bunch of orcs
with a C.
Yes. Not fungus. So a bunch of orcs with plant-based weaponry, including like plant grenades. They fought them, and before they were able to move along, they discovered that the blood of the orcs was enough to activate the portal and summon the massive rain cloud above their heads. And before they moved on to the city they saw in the distance, Athena or Mirage felt some kind of draw to a box that Chris dug out, or Chimera, and they were gonna, it sprang open when Mirage touched it.
And it pricked my finger.
Yes. All right. So we'll jump right back in. So the like I said, finger prick comes through. So the box sprang open, and inside you find a few different things. You find 300 coins made out of water? Like, not, you touch it, feels wet, holds a shape. If you squeeze it, you get a feeling like if you squeeze too hard, it would burst. I don't know if you want to test that or not.
So it's a water bead. It feels like a water bead.
No, it actually feels like liquid when you touch it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's weird. Like it's a weird feeling. Sal, if you touch it and you want, you realize that's some kind of either very minor magic item or there's a magic effect on it. Your identify will trigger.
Yeah.
They are some kind of currency named called a drip. And each one can be popped to produce 10 gallons of pure, unsalted water. There's also a flask within that has, looks like a terrarium almost. It's got sand at the bottom, water, and at the top there's like an algae. I assume you're going to identify that as well?
Yeah.
That is an oasis in a flask. When open, it creates a small oasis. Only works on sand. So, like I said, there's an oasis. It's an oasis in a flask. You think it might be a one-time use, though. I'm sorry. I haven't decided. You think should it be one-time use, and it's permanent, or should it be temporary, but you can use it a certain X number of times? What do you guys think? What's more interesting?
Well, the question is, what's more interesting or what's more useful for the maker?
Well, being able to bring their own oasis with them when they're traveling in the desert is the most useful.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what it'll do. It'll last for 10 hours. So that's enough time for you to sleep.
It's a long rest.
Effectively, it lasts one long rest. And it's once a day. Once per long rest. Oasis in a flask. Once per LR. Okay. And then the last thing, there's two more things you find in there. There is some kind of rolled piece of parchment with you think it might be something akin to silk, but isn't actually silk. Wrap it like with like a bow around it. And then there's a bottle with black seeds. Of two different kinds within it.
Two different kinds of seeds?
At least two different kinds. You can tell. Alright, so you have the oasis in a bottle, a scroll that you can't really identify, you haven't looked at, that is bound in something that's almost silk. You have the coins, which produce water, and then the bottle with seeds. What do you guys do?
Well, the seeds, that's your thing.
Yes, but now is not the time to explore them. We do have people that were...
still fighting.
Yes.
The remainder of the orcs.
The orcs are gone at this point.
Well...
You'll find that out pretty quick.
I mean, they were hauling ass, so...
Yeah, I mean, there are probably still some out in the desert, but they're plant-based...
Yeah.
And they're in the desert.
Probably not going to survive long. I mean, it is going to rain, though.
The rain is starting to come, and it is coming. You get the occasional drop, even 10 foot down, like you guys are. Do you want to look at the scroll or not?
Yeah, we should look at the scroll.
So,
yes?
Never mind. I'm starting to remember last episode.
Got it.
I remember just yelling that they're underground. People are underground. I'm still believing that.
There are no one underground that you can tell. Not that you know of yet. so there is a... You open it up and you find a blank piece of paper with grid coordinates on it. Like a Cartesian coordinate system on it.
Okay.
Cartesian?
What do you do?
Record down the numbers.
Okay, no, it is like a blank.
Yes.
It is a blank XY grid.
What would... Could I rule nature?
It wouldn't be helpful.
Well, I was thinking, right, if she's good woodsy wise, she would know how to read a map.
That is survival.
So then can I roll survival?
But it's blank. is what he said.
I know, but if we're looking at XY coordinates and then we were able to pull up a map.
It is quite literally, you unroll it, it is a, let's say...
Oh, I thought there was like a pinpoint that said 12-inch
by 12-inch square of grid paper with an XY grid on it. Like a hard, you know, X and Y axes.
Like if you were to touch it, perfect. Does it do anything?
You touch it and ripples come out. Doom, doom,
doom, doom, doom. I'm so fucking smart.
Where did you touch? I'm just curious. Is it right on the origin?
Right in the middle.
That's the origin.
The X. That middle.
That's the origin.
Yeah.
You see about two squares. You see the outline of what's labeled jungle arch. Doom, 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 doom. And it goes out probably another 4 or 5 hexes and doesn't find anything else. And at the top, when you do that, at the top it reads Desert Wanderer's Map.
Hmm.
Mechanically, since you were able to do that and be able to kind of put it together, it will tell you what's around you. Or what's around wherever. Essentially, you guys are always considered the origin. When you walk and you tap it, it will tell you what's in the location on the map.
Okay.
Seems like it's tied to the sand.
Gotcha.
And we have to always touch it to, like, almost, like, reset it?
Correct. Got it. When you touch it, it resets. Actually, even as you watch, it's... Looks like over the course of the next minute or so, it'll fade.
As we roll it back up, and I'll hand it over to Mirage. Mischief managed.
Jesus Christ.
He's not wrong, though. So, you know, you hear from over the hill hollering in primordial or something akin to it. Like I think we said it was like...
Well, the orcs were speaking some like, kind of hybrid of earth and water.
So these guys are something that's akin to like fire and wind. But as I was saying, the they're speaking in some kind of mix of Orin and Ignan.
Okay.
You'd have to guess, maybe. So the older desert dweller is sliding down the dune with the younger guy, the younger, less experienced one, obviously, over his shoulder, power sliding down the dune and speaking in some foreign tongue. So in that language that you don't speak, the older man calls out and says, "Outsiders, what brings you to the sands of Indale?"
Indale,
but yeah, Indale for your notes.
Welcome to.
He did not say welcome. He said, "What brings you to the sands of Indale?"
A mistake.
We're lost and just looking to get home.
Yes.
He looks at you strangely. He says, "You aren't dressed like any travelers I've seen before."
I prepared ourselves for.
Also, you didn't understand him.
Yeah, no. He's translating.
Yeah, I'll translate.
We have that telepathic link.
When he said. So when he translated to, "You don't look like travelers," or whatever, I go, "Hey, I prepared us for any sort of temperature gauge. Of course we're ready for sand. What is he talking about?"
But you look at what he's dressed in,
which is all flowing.
I know, exactly.
Which is all flowing silk, flowing cloth.
What you would imagine.
Exactly.
Like dune.
No.
Not like dune. No, like Aladdin.
Like Aladdin.
Very poofy pant, like, but lots of air. Air everywhere. Except where you see there's obviously cloth because of sand.
Like a flowy material.
Yes. So he slides down and he says, "I saw you fighting the Vinekin. Good work."
Yes.
Which you now know that's what these orcs are properly called. A Vinekin.
So how often do they come through?
As often as we can figure out how to open the portal. When they come, they bring the rain. Which you guys know is not technically true.
No, they just bring in a bunch of humidity from the forest, which affects...
No, you read the arch. You know, the arch is what's making the storm.
They just need the...
The portal opening is a side effect, almost.
Okay.
Kind of. You get what I'm saying. It's one causes the other, not the other way. You know, the one cause and effect.
I mean,
they have the wrong order of things.
Scientifically, the portal opening would bring in more humidity, you're right. Which would make a storm.
Bringing in the humidity, and then it gets amplified by the blood magic.
Yes.
Do you tell him that you know how that works? Or do you not say shit about that?
I'm not going to say shit about that, because I don't think they need to know that they can sacrifice people to make this happen.
You notice it didn't work when you guys got hurt. Specifically, orc blood caused it.
Okay.
Because they're made of water. Because they're specifically... They're water element... water attuned, as it were.
Gotcha.
So the... You know, the strange man looks at each of you with, you know, curiosity, but also not even a begrudging respect, just a respect. He says, you know, you guys took down the Vinekin like you were born to it. Is this your first time hunting them?
Yes. They are... We do not have them where we come from.
Hmm. We're lucky to have the gate to bring the rains. I'm sorry that your homeland doesn't have one.
Our homeland doesn't need one. Our place of origin is covered in water.
Hmm. He says, so you're from, hold on.
Earth 123?
No, I actually have
616.
What? 666?
6969? So you're from near Caton.
Never heard of that.
Nope.
Strange.
Never heard it that way.
Hmm. Okay.
Probably a little further away than that.
Understood.
We were sent through a gate sort of like that one.
He gets a little more defensive. He says, you're not of this realm?
No, and we are trying to get back to ours.
Why not go back through the portal you walked through?
Because it closed the moment we came through.
Mm.
Are we technically on a mission? Aren't we technically on a mission? But she doesn't say it to him.
Your mission is to survive and get home.
Yeah.
That's it. That was the whole... This whole semester is survive and get home.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't know that.
No, but you guys do.
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't need to know.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
So we are...
Thank you.
...in the process of determining... We've been told that there is another gate here that we have to find. And go back through.
Well, as far as I understand, the rain gate only goes to the home of the Vinekin. As far as I know, the rain gate only opens to the home of the Vinekin.
Yes, this is not the gate we need.
And only if we can find enough wildlife to, sacrifice to it. It doesn't seem to work with sentient beings. They've tried. He kind of shifts the body of the... Or the obviously unconscious form of the other kid on his shoulder.
So, how is your companion? Is he?
He took a few hard hits to the head. I'm gonna have a healer look at him when we get back to Indale. He should be fine.
I could take care of that for you.
Ah, a shaman?
Of sorts.
You are good with plants. He says, you are good with plants.
He gets a bit more defensive. He says, a mage?
Sort of.
A fire mage?
No.
Ice mage?
No.
What kind of mage are you? He looks at you like those are the like those are the two options. What are you talking about? Then what are you?
Sound? Sound?
I'm gonna
He's a bard. He's a sound mage.
And a plant mage.
Yeah. I'm gonna pull out my lute. And
yeah, both of us are going, oh god. Oh no.
Hey, it's not the bagpipes.
No.
Is it a lute or is it an actual guitar?
It's a guitar.
Is it a 6 or a 12 string?
A 6.
Electric or
acoustic? No, it's acoustic.
You don't usually pull it up to use magic either.
No.
You're playing it up.
Yes.
Okay. Continue.
So I will start to.
Oh, medicine will tell you that this guy is at 0 hit points and stable.
So I will go ahead and.
You got a berry.
Yeah.
Start singing and strumming and give him a healing word.
Berry. Or a good berry.
That she has already made.
Yeah, I know, but.
The bard be the bard. Yes, let the bard be the bard.
Roll the healing dice. Mr. Person, he doesn't have his dice out yet.
And don't forget to double it.
2d4.
I mean, unless you're going for, like, big heals.
3.
So 9.
Plus 9, yeah.
The kid, who you realize he's maybe 17-ish, about the same age as you guys. He startles me, he's like, what happened? And he reaches around his back for his red crystal rifle thing, red crystal weapon. He says, where are the Vinekin? And he turns and he levels his weapon at you, and he says, and his mentor just takes it and slaps his hand. He says, put that down! They killed the Vinekin. Do you not remember seeing them? He says, I only remember seeing outsiders. And gets real broody. The older man says, my apologies. I am Yusuf. And this is Berzoi.
I'm Chris.
Yusuf. Y-U-S-U-F. And Berzoi. Berzoi? Berzoi. Barozai. And Berzoi, this is his first hunt against the Vinekin. One of their shamans whacked him in the head with a vine. He kind of glitters at his apprentice, or whoever, or his mentee, and says, "Maybe something got shaken loose. We'll have the healers look at it." And then he pushes him into the sand. This guy is just like beet red, just no, just. Absolutely.
Yes, he got humiliated.
Exactly.
And now there are outsiders who have seen it that will. Yeah. We know how that goes.
He looks at you, and you'll basically the crystal weapons you see. Yusuf has a blue crystalline rifle on his back.
Okay.
Big ass rifle. I'm talking probably 5 feet long. And then a similar colored blue, maybe a little bit of green to it, a crystal saber at his side. And the younger man has what looks like what we would have had the equivalent of like a P90 or a bullpup, with a spear on his back.
Well, those are
submachine guns, Natalie.
The crystalline weapons are definitely intriguing.
Do you say that?
Oh, yeah.
He says, most magic in Indale is done via crystals. I know over in Keaton it's done with runes, but Here, it's mostly crystalline.
Where we come from, magic is uncommon.
How do you... Well, a land full of water, you wouldn't need as much magic.
We come from a place that has a lot more technology.
Mm. I mean, our crystals are grown as this. They're not crafted. Well, correction. You'll have to speak to an artificer, and then we can explain if you're interested.
Oh, I'm definitely interested. Yes, I'm definitely interested.
It says, well, as you know, as people, as you helped close, generate the great storm far faster than we've ever succeeded. You're welcome to come back to us, come back to Indale as my guests.
We would be more than appreciative of having a place to stay.
My sand skiff is just over the rise.
Okay. Please lead the way.
And Burrow, our angry bee, he grumbles, but you know his mentor like kicks him and says, "Clear the skiff," and he tears off. And he says, "I'm sorry. He's my nephew. His mother's my sister. He wanted to be a hunter. She bought him the gear." I had to give him a shot.
He didn't make it, did he?
He's a really good fighter, but god damn is he stupid.
That's equivalent to, he's a really nice kid, but he's really freaking dumb.
But he seems a little impulsive. He needs to learn patience.
The blood of the Ifrit runs strong through our family. Hmm. Which basically is saying there may be more elemental blood to him than most. Mm-hmm. He's anything but a pure fire crystal that fails to work for him entirely. But he can use the most intense concentrations without batting an eyelash. So take the good with the bad.
Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own little niches. So we'll follow him back to the skiff.
Yeah, so you find your way to the skiff. It's about maybe 10 or 15, 10 feet, maybe 12 feet wide, and about 25 feet long. And it's made out of a very lightweight reed, mostly reeds and,
plant-based.
It's all wood, but it's... Yeah. At the helm, you do see there's a green crystal that he gets on, and he stands behind it. He says, "Well, make yourself tie yourselves down or get comfortable. We should be back to town, which you know is like hundred. I want to say it's like hundreds of miles away.
140.
Yeah.
You're gonna catch up to Harriet.
Oh yeah, she's still Harriet. Flying around.
She's flying to the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's another 160 miles away.
160? Okay.
Because the arch was 40 miles, and then the other thing was 200 miles before that.
Okay. So,
yeah, 160 miles away. So. He says, we should be there in about 2.5 hours. Which, you know, means you're going to be ripping. He touches the green crystal.
Yeah, and we'll strap in and...
Unlike the sail, which on a boat is in the center, it is a pair of sails to the right and left that he, you know, the angry bee opens up, and then he touches the crystal and two jets of pressurized air shoot into him, and you take off like a bullet. And soon you are skipping over the dunes, not even landing in the dips, just... skipping like a stone across the dune tops. Despite himself, Angry Bee is just like whooping and hollering. He's obviously not used to this and is excited for it, while Yusuf is just the most, I do this shit all day. This is literally my job.
He's showing off for the new people rather than, you know.
No. He looks and he says, it's his first trip out. Ever. This is how our people travel.
Okay.
sand skiffs, or skippers, as they like to call them. So you guys skip along. He asks you if you have any questions as you're flying, as you're kind of flipping along. The crystal gives a sort of like pocket of. It's like being in a car cabin. You can talk, except for right at the edge where his nephew is leaning out and getting his face fucking destroyed by the sand, but he seems to just be loving it. And he says, I've lived in Indo all my 40 summers.
So how big is Indale?
Oh, the core settlement or the entirety of the people they call themselves from Indale?
The core settlement.
It's about maybe 20 miles across, maybe.
Okay.
You can see it. If he aims for a bigger dune, so you can get a high, like you can launch a little higher, so you can see it. He says it sprawls along, what was once the Great River, until it dried up, 40 or so, just after I was born.
So has anybody investigated why the river dried up?
From what I've been told, the council has investigated and found nothing. But none of the people believe them. They believe there's something that they're not telling us. But no one has found a solution in almost 40 years, so it's now we rely on the portal for our... The portal and the Grand Reservoir for our water.
Well, this sounds like a mystery
And as he says that, the rain...
Oh, Lord.
Like, you hear a crash! And a torrential downpour starts, and you notice that the bubble of wind keeps the water off you guys. But now you're realizing that it's actually starting to pool in the sand. It's like, it is. There's a reason why they skip across the tops, because it'd be dangerous down in the bottoms. And you know that 40 summers is 40 years.
Yeah, we kind of figured that.
Yes, but if I didn't say that, and you guys were like, well, no, because it's like two seasons here, you know, like, some wild shit like that.
Technically 20 years, but, you know.
Exactly. When you look at him, and he's definitely in his late 30s, early 40s, but damn is he in good shape. The dude is, you know, 6'3", light brown hair and a top knot, gruff, but obviously appreciative of the help you guys gave him. His nephew is about 5'8". Black hair and a wolf tail. Just kind of a dick. Or under-seasoned, maybe, if you're being nice. Alright, so you guys, if you don't have any more questions for him, he just kind of, the companionable silence. He asks you about where you're from, how much detail do you give him? He asks about the land that doesn't worry about water, doesn't worry about.
Oh, we have other problems with too much water sometimes.
So more like Keaton then.
Yes.
It's something called global warming.
That's what they say happened here.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
There are myths that this was once a land of water, but.
Oh my God! Are we in the future? Is this the Earth? Oh my God.
What, you want to go look for the Statue of Liberty?
I don't know, maybe if we just start digging.
They blew it up.
Oh my gosh, it's the Statue of Liberty. Oh no. Oh no, we're in the Atlantic. I found the Titanic.
So,
all right. Shit, they figured it out.
No.
The dragons wouldn't let that happen.
The dragons wouldn't have let the Titanic happen?
No, the dragons...
Oh.
They wouldn't let nature get this out of balance. So, like I said, you guys are skipping along. You hit a final big-ass rise, and he seems like he gooses it a little bit to give you some hang time. And you look out and see... It might be 20 miles long, but it's less than 2 miles wide. It is a strip of
yeah, because it's built around a river. Theoretically.
And you see that there is one, like, bulging side that looks like there's some kind of palace or temple, maybe. And on the other side, like, if, you know, if like, okay, so in front of me, imagine a line where there's a river, and the top right corner is the palace. The bottom right corner would be, the bottom left corner would be a massive, like, oasis. And then the top left would be a big-ass rectangular reservoir.
Okay.
And the bottom right, it's almost like they built, like, nodes. If you mentioned, like, car tires, one tire would be the palace, one tire would be a temple, the other tire would be a reservoir, and the other tire would be... flip this to the reservoirs are on opposite the oasis. But anyway, one side is reservoir, one side is oasis, and they're kind of like kitty corner from each other, so the temple and the palace both get water. And he says, and this is Zendale. He says, we'll be going in through the Hunter's Gate, so we shouldn't need to wait. I'll take you to my home, and from there you can decide what you want, what you would like to do. Is that acceptable?
Yes.
He says, do your friends not speak?
They don't know
Sand Tongue.
They don't know Sand Tongue.
You have an accent, but I can understand you.
Yes, I am struggling to make sure that I am understood. We do have an ability to communicate amongst us. So I am translating.
We'll take them to the artificers, they'll be able to help.
That would be helpful.
So maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll stop there before dinner, because it's getting to be about what you would call like 5 o'clock at night. It's getting cold, like really cold.
So what do you use for currency, or are you strictly a barter system?
Primarily, we barter, but bigger purchases are made with coins called drips.
Okay, kind
of
like
it's a rare form of. Non-salty water.
How valuable are those?
I mean, you can buy a loaf of bread. You could buy 100 loaves of bread for one drip.
Okay. Thank you for the...
Mechanically, they're worth about a platinum piece each, if you wanted to do the math.
That's where I was...
I had a feeling you were asking. You were trying to get a
gold.
So it's about a platinum piece. If we're talking like D&D terms, he says we don't.
And it's new school platinum, old school platinum, right?
Not five. That's 10 times. Yeah, yeah. Metric platinum. Yes.
Yes. Okay. I'm just.
He says, he says we do have droplets, which are the smaller coin, but they're much. You have to break a drip, and you lose some of the water contained within. So most people don't do it. But you may be given change in droplets, and those are. The equivalent of a loaf of bread.
Okay.
Which means they're about a silver. But they're only worth, like, you know, a cup of water, so they're fucking useless to them mostly, but they do happen. Yeah. Like, sometimes it'll, you can capture a drip. He explains that there's a process to, like, use some of the water in a drip and then recapture it, and it might give you change, essentially.
Okay.
And droplets, but it's very difficult to do. They need a very powerful ice mage to do it. And he talks about ice mages reverently.
Okay.
So, you guys going through the gate, they don't even stop. They don't even try and stop you. It's about 40 foot wide. They open it wide for him, and they say, Yusuf, good welcome home! Thank you for the rain! And they're all like, people are throwing, like, bags onto the boat, and he's just kind of having you guys step to the side. And he'll explain that it was his, you know, he's pretty much the only person they send out to do this. Meet him and whoever he chooses to go with, because when they send more, for some reason things go wrong. They send a full hunting party, he explains they sent a full hunting party once, and none of them came back. And the rain never came. Or the rains came like 3 days later versus, you know, you guys got the rains because of you guys. The rain, they're used to taking a couple hours. You guys would have done in like
20 minutes.
You know, like 2 minutes, you know? And it's all because you killed the shaman. You specifically targeted the leaders near the anchor, which magically you were able to determine with your identifies and everything.
Yeah.
So, and he points out, and he says each of these contains either drips or foodstuffs or they're forms of thanks versus a payment. I'm not paid. This is a duty I provide, a service I provide.
Okay.
He brings you to a you're driven through you guys hop off at a
parking stall.
Basically a parking stall. There's a couple other things nearby. He unsockets the green gem and then you notice he sockets it into like a thing on his hip. It rotates and clicks into place. And he says, "Please follow me. We'll go to the artificer first. I don't want you meeting my wife if she can't understand you. She'll be quite cross." He leads you down the hill, down the way to Indale Artificery. He says,
Is this the common tongue of this realm?
It's the common tongue of Indale. They speak, Snow Tongue over in Keaton.
Because we got those language potions. So
it would not be you'd be better if you learned Primordial. You'd be able to speak probably both countries. So if you can get that from him, that would be better than what you're going to be given for this. But he does walk in and he says, "I need two cuffs to translate to Sand Tongue." And an elderly woman walks in and she's got cataracts and she's she walks over and she smiles. She says, "You Suf, you young stud. It's good to see you, or almost see you. Of course, for you anything." She says, "I hear the rain. We appreciate you here." And she reaches and she fumbles around on the counter until she reaches underneath it and pulls out two bluish white ear cuffs. And, fumbles to put them in Yusuf's hand. And he reaches out and gently pats the back of her hand. And he says, "Thank you, Alara. We appreciate you." And from the back, you hear a young man say, "Grandma, do you need some help?" And she says, "Don't worry, Cal. I've got this." Or Kai. Sorry, it's Kai. I wrote it earlier, and it was too small. "Don't worry, Kai. I have this. It's just Yusuf and friends." Yusuf, and a young man comes out, and he's got a mischievous grin, and just seems like murder's a whip. You see he's got chisels and hammers and calipers and stuff hanging from his apron. And he says,
"Your type of person,
my people."
And he says, here you go." And she puts in the ear cuffs and. And he hands one to each of you and says, "Just put this on and you should be able to understand Sand Tongue after that." I'm sorry, it would be green and red, not blue and white.
No.
Do you guys put the ear cuffs on?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
A perception check.
Sure. What are you trying to do with perception? Investigation?
Identify?
Sure, whichever.
Do you want to stand there for a minute staring at it?
21.
Perception or investigation?
Investigation.
Seems like or maybe insight would be better, because you're trying to figure out if she's trying to hurt you.
Yeah. So 22.
She has no... She is genuinely excited to be able to help Yusuf in whatever the fuck he needs.
Got it.
So you put the ear cuffs on, and they go from speaking gobbledygook to English.
Can we talk?
You hear them speak Sand Tongue. They take it off, they speak English. All language you hear is translated to English, but everyone hears you in Sand Tongue.
Interesting. I will need to learn how this works.
This is probably going to be coming with us as we go. So, I'm sure these take effort and time to make. I do not feel like we should accept just the straight gratitude. So, what is it that we can do for you?
Oh, I don't need anything. She says I've worked with Yusuf and his family for generations now. Well, I've worked with them. My family's worked with them for generations. We provide the tools, and he provides the rain. And she says, I won't take payment. And she turns to walk away, and Kai says, Grandma, we have to. She says, we don't accept payment from Yusuf or anyone he brings with. And Kai kind of like looks at her and is like, you're right, Grandma. You're right.
Let me give you a gift from where we're from, and I'll pull out a little jar of the Italian seasoning spices.
She says, this is some kind of a spice?
Yes.
It's far too valuable.
No, please. No. It's common where I come from.
This would buy the shop next door. Please, it's too much. And she hands it back to you and backs away slowly.
All right.
I assume it's like an ounce. Plastic.
Yeah.
Plastic or glass?
Plastic.
Yeah. A little plastic jar, like nothing burger.
I mean, yeah.
It's an ounce worth, you know, it's, you know, mm-hmm. you get pounds of the shit.
Yes.
But,
yes, like I said, it's, you know, I knew that.
Yeah, you look next door, the shop next door is a piece of shit.
Like, yeah, but still.
And I'm not saying it's worth hundreds of gold. I'm not saying it's worth thousands of gold.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be worth 100 gold. You know, like, you know, yeah. You know what I mean? Or like two drip, you know, three drips or whatever. You know,
so 10 drips. I'm going to try a sleight of hand check, and I'm going to try to leave a drip somewhere on the counter where they'll find it later.
Kai sees what you're doing, you're going to do, gives you like a grateful nod, and then leads his grandmother away. And he comes back later, and comes back a minute later, and says, thank you. We're not doing poorly, but she likes to give things away.
A giver.
She's a hell of a giver. A damn good artificer. He says, I'm trying my best to learn half of what she knows, and I'll be the second best in the city. Do you look around at anything else that's on for sale or no?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. yeah. At least, you know, see how the stuff works, learn what I can.
Trying to figure out how it works, realistically, I need a Arcana DC 30 to have any fucking shot. This is not even close to whatever. Anything you've ever seen before.
How about this? It gives you something to work for when we get back.
Yeah. You can try.
I'm gonna pointedly look at him, and I'm gonna go. So, the crystals that seem to be the controls for things, are those crystals grown or are those found?
They're grown in they grow in the Great Oasis.
We're going to try and roll this because I want to figure this out.
I'll give you a bardic inspiration.
I appreciate that. That's a D8 still, right?
Yes.
I got matching dice for it, too.
I'm sure you might be able to convince somebody over there to... But we may need that later.
We'll see how it goes. Start with that. That's a 14 plus 8, so 22... So this needs to be an 8, and I got it.
I said for any chance, yeah.
Not quite there. That's a 27, but at least it's a...
You going to give a guidance?
Yes.
Keep the matching 50, set.
50%. No. Yeah.
There you go.
330.
So what you can tell is that these are... Whatever color they are is whatever element they contain.
I kind of figured that.
But they're grown into blanks, and then however they're worked and whatever materials are used to work them is what gives them their additional effects. You see that there is a brown, like, not brown, it's like a, what color would sand be? Like a tan crystal rod, you see, that's labeled sand armor. Mechanically, it is Hold on. Is the artifice? Yeah, I have a couple items for each shop that is available. It is a wand that generates a protective shield of sand, which gives you mage armor and fire resistance.
Hmm.
And it has 3 charges, and it regains a d4 -1 charges per day. You can go, boom, fire resistance and mage armor, one item, and it. But when it blocks, it, a shield of sand appears to block it.
Gotcha.
So that's the kind of thing. It's all about how it's worked. The core, the whatever size and whatever purity it is when it's grown can't be changed. But it's how they work it and how they apply...
What you put into it affects the output.
It's all about how it's treated. And when you talk to Kai, he's more than happy to explain, it's all about resonance. It's all about... he pulls out like 30 different tuning forks that are all labeled. Hmm. And it's all about, you know, playing the right music when nearby.
I could just feel her in the back of my head going, "Ting, ting, 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 let me out, let me out."
Yes.
Yeah, this is the, she would be at home here beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Oh yeah.
Your sister, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's kind of what you learn. This is not something... You don't have the ability to grow the crystals, or not that you know of. So this knowledge would be pretty much useless anywhere else.
Yeah.
Unless you could find out how they grow the crystals. And then this could be the next great frontier of magic.
Which sounds like something to see about bringing home.
Or at least figuring out how it's working. Because the other thing that I've been worried about is if it's grown out in the Great Oasis... That's where the river used to be.
No, it's not.
Oh, what is it?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It was alongside.
Okay.
Almost like the oasis fed into the river.
Okay.
It still does, but it just goes into nothing now. So they sealed it off. You can talk. You can ask more questions. We want to know what else is there.
Yeah.
I have 3 interesting things in each shop. I figured it'd be good.
That's a good place to start. And I'm gonna...
There's a ring that grants you the ability to breathe underwater. He says they're particularly popular with people who work in the Great Oasis. So we always have those in stock.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a necklace that allows you to communicate with animals. You can already speak to animals.
I know.
That's
stupid.
But yeah, no, it lets specifically, like, the more expensive ones let you speak with all animals, or others are like, can speak with bipeds, can speak with, you know, mammals or birds or lizards or whatever. Fish are popular. With the same people who buy the ones with the underwater rings. Because it lets them talk to the fish that guard the crystals.
Do the rings require attunement?
No.
No?
Should we get some underwater rings? Because...
It would probably be helpful, just in, better to have and not need.
My idea
is... He says they are expensive. They're 5 drips apiece.
Gonna have to go underwater underneath the water.
He says, I'm sorry, they're very...
That's fine.
That's very fine work to make them do what they need to. And they're in high demand.
So, should we just go ahead and... So yeah, we'll buy 3 rings.
Alright.
I'm just tracking it as platinum in D&D Beyond.
That's fine.
Yeah. Bought 3 rings of water breathing. It doesn't give you the ability to swim, but it does give you... You won't ever drown.
Yeah,
it's a blue ring with its threads of white.
I can already swim.
Well, I was thinking of pulling out
Chad's.
And then, you know, Mario, when he's using the Koopa shell... And goes really fast. I was thinking of doing something like that.
You two both have... both Sal and Athena have swimming speeds. It would just be Chris who's kind of dragging
us. So I give him...
But Sal just drags him along. So
yeah. I give him the Koopa shell to let him go fast.
Okay. And the last thing, it was the choker of animal speech.
We don't need that.
No, you got that covered. It's okay.
Unless I die.
No, it's okay. We don't need it.
Murphy's on your shoulder. He says, "I haven't seen a single cat since we got here. This place is so cursed."
No, they're just waiting for their...
They're waiting
I'll take the earpiece off and say this. Like, they're just waiting for their god to show up.
Don't feed his ego. Jeez.
And put the earpiece back on.
So, you chat with Kai a little bit longer, and he kind of goes...
Do they notice him? Because I was wondering that. Do they notice him on my shoulder?
It's almost like they're pointedly not talking about him.
You know what, Murphy? Just stay in the back.
Not like being, like not disgusted or not...
Yeah, no, I know, but still, I need your
safety. You've seen, like, some, like, whippet-style dogs, like desert dogs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Very, very few, like, no cats at all, but other animals, birds, but not cats.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. And when you guys go to leave, roll perception for me.
Son of a bitch!
I was waiting for this one.
Net 20.
19. What is it? Investigation?
Perception.
Perception plus 12.
So 31 or net 20?
Hang on. I'm pulling it up. It's 11 plus... I think it's 4. Yeah, 15.
So you don't hear this. You hear him muttering some kind of prayer. The God of the Sun. When you guys leave.
Okay.
It's very religious, very long and, like, drawn out, but he's saying it as he's walking back. So, you guys go back to Yusuf's house. You meet his wife, who is a vivacious, early 40s, maybe, you know, late 30s woman. You know, just a big lady. And she comes and she glomps on to Yusuf, who goes from being this very reserved, very I'm at work, to just the happiest family man. His three kids, you know, run out and give him a huge hug. I'm not giving names to them, so don't ask. Unless you guys stay here a while, then we'll do that. But it is, you know, his wife, Fala, comes over and says, he says, Yusuf, darling, you brought friends and did not introduce me. And he says, you didn't give me a chance, darling. I was right about to. These are my friends, Chris, Sal, and Athena. They helped us. They helped Barazoy and I... With the gate. Oh, that's bigger party than usually succeeds. They weren't part of the party. They actually came from a land of water. She says, I need story time after dinner. And you meet...
That'd be all you.
Yeah. Most water.
two boys and a girl for his kids. They're all like... They're triplets. They're very young.
Joseph. Yusuf Juan, Yusufina.
I'm not going to worry about it.
That's their names in my brain now. Yusufina.
Honestly, in this culture, it would not be uncommon.
I know.
Like, at all. So you go in, and Fala is the most generous host. You know, she puts on a spread with all the bags of food that Yusuf's been carrying around. You know, you think, like, with spices being so valuable, it would be bland. But boy, is it fucking spicy. It's mostly cutting up, like, half a dozen peppers to put into the dish. Anything dried, anything that lasts a long time is extremely expensive. But, like, peppers are everywhere. Why would we not use peppers?
Figs.
Eggs. The things we would associate with desert food.
Yep.
There's Nepales, you know, like stuff like that. The food is banging. With a 30 on the check.
Was that a natural
20?
15. No. Oh, it looked like a natural 20.
She is a housewife who is what you will find to be. Yusuf is the most decorated hunter in the entire city. There's a reason why his wife was given all the training needed to keep him happy. No, like, that's... You'll find that out as you the longer you stand here. She seems incredibly happy, so it's not... It worked out. It turns out they were childhood friends. But, she went to the best cooking school, the best, how to raise children, the whole, like, everything. So while he was training for hunting, she was trained to be the wife of a hunter. Childhood friend. Okay. You guys talk late into the night. Just, she rings stories out of you that you never wanted to tell. I mean, she is... You're not as charismatic as Chris, but she's pushing it. And she's just the life of the party. And Yusuf is just beaming the whole time.
I'll put on a show. I got performance.
That's not... I'm saying,
yeah.
This is just like... Her personality oozes throughout the house. Never feel unwanted.
They ask for story time, so I'll put on a show.
And they're excited. Yeah. They're asking you how you keep things lit and things like that. I assume you have, like, a modern set that's gas-powered that you carry with you? Or is it traditional?
The one that I use for the fire dances, I actually figure I just use the glaive.
Okay.
But,
Because I know that I've seen there's two kinds. There's the modern kind that has, like, a tiny, like, gas reservoir that keeps it safe.
Yeah.
And then there's the still dipped in pitch, traditional methods.
Yeah. I was thinking more of the, storyteller performance, but still.
Oh, okay.
Because, she asked me to tell a story, so.
Yeah, you can roll if you'd like. There's not a huge benefit to it unless you crush it.
I can try. That is a 15 plus 11, so 26.
Yeah, but, she'll explain that, like, they don't have fruits like you're talking about. She says, but they do have, and she pulls out, like, a Thai coconut.
Hmm.
Like, she says that these grow by the oasis, and they, a few, maybe 40 or 50 per year, and she's got one she's been saving for their anniversary.
As all eyes turn to Chris, we just kind of look over, like, somebody might now. Okay. Not yet.
Do you want to check out those seeds, Chris?
Yes, I am definitely going to pull out those seeds.
They are, I have exactly what they are written down because I knew. It is one of, with, roll me a pair of botany, please, or you can identify them for him, Chris. Sal.
I can identify them.
Little pair of botany as well. I'll tell you what's going on with them. I want to see your plus.
I think I'm plus 10.
Be 8 plus your intelligence bonus.
Plus 7.
No, plus 1 intelligence bonus?
Mm-hmm.
You guys proficiency is 4, right? What's your intelligence?
Plus 3.
You didn't give yourself expertise in your
interest
skill.
I did not.
So, roll your die first, and then adjust after.
4.
So you're proficient. So, yeah. Oh, but it's not that. So it'd be 11, right? No, 4 and 4 is 8 plus 3 is 11. Yes, yeah, so that's 15. So one of them produces a semi-sentient attack cactus.
Semi-sentient
attack cactus.
Yeah. Basically, they can be trained to not attack people wearing a certain color.
Okay, so they're literally the cactus from Planet Plants versus Zombies.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Beautiful.
Love it.
Supposedly they can be used to train other ways, but no one else has succeeded. But they're close enough to intelligent that you're pretty sure you could tip that over, and then they could actually be talked to. Yep. And then the other one is the one that there's a lot fewer of, is a thing that grows a palm tree that grows healing coconuts. Which you realize that's probably what she has.
So we're really hoping for that island next year.
Oh.
Where else is they gonna grow a coconut tree?
I know. Hmm.
It's a magical
coconut. You got it.
You'll make it work. It's a magical coconut tree.
Fair.
And you have a Chris.
Yeah.
So, The kids come out and they do a little dance and it's okay. Just for funsies, how is it? Bad. Nah, his whole family has got the riz. They're on it.
They got some skill.
I rolled an 18 on the die. It's like a 25 as the kids. They're fucking. They nail it. They really. It looks like that.
They took after their mom.
Yeah. like just damn. The kids all got it. Damn, Jackie. So you guys, you know, end of the night comes by, and Yusuf kind of leans back, and he's, you know, there's, you guys are sitting on the on.
It's so like a. I do have one question before we get to. Did you guys mention that the kid was giving a prayer as we left? Because I didn't notice.
Oh yeah, we would mention. Okay. At least, through the telepathic link, at least.
And they would have done a prayer to the sun god during dinner too, but it was pretty short.
But that's not what I'm gonna. You know, when he's starting to sit back and relax in the evening, I do want to bring up and ask about. It just seems kind of odd that there aren't more small animals and things like that around, and if the.
Well, he's just. Well, I mean, the temple cats roam the cities after at night and keep the city clean. We're not allowed to leave after a certain hour to make sure that we don't interfere with their holy work.
Jamie.
So the cats, the temple cats that wander around.
They don't wander. They're hunters.
Yes.
They hunt the vermin to prevent them from ruining our food, as well as to remove the undesirable from the city. He describes a couple different, like, small monsters that appear as soon as the cats just handle them.
Okay.
My thought is they're probably Murphy-sized.
At least. And probably almost as intelligent.
You know he can hear you, right?
Yes. And no, he is not going out because they probably kill him.
That's very true.
Well, at full size, they wouldn't have a chance to kill him. But actually, so do you peek outside just to see if you can see?
I'm gonna sit by the window and watch, yeah.
They are a dead ringer for Murphy at his current size. His, like, 4 foot long size, like, three foot long size. Like, you know, the backpack you have that is, like, a hiking backpack for your cat.
I still think it's, like, just a knapsack. Or, like, a side bag. And he sits in it like that. He's, like, always, like, right here.
With his head up?
And then he's able to launch himself out.
Okay, so, yeah.
See, I was picturing, like, the little bubble backpacks.
So he can get out. So if we're...
She's got, like, a messenger bag style thing. Okay, so... These cats, without exaggeration, are the exact same size as Murphy. And, like, they move like him. They have his same mannerisms.
Okay.
You've never seen a cat move like Murphy. He doesn't move like a cat. He moves...
Could I go talk to them?
You're not going outside.
I'm not going outside, but can I go over to the window and talk to them?
You could try.
Hello? No. It's like a window open. Could I throw out a treat?
Oh, no.
Sure. The windows are... There's no glass.
Okay.
I mean, no, he's well off. They wouldn't have glass.
To be protected.
Yes, they would have glass. Yeah, you could open it. Yeah.
To be protected, I'm gonna throw a couple of treats.
A couple of cats, you know, a couple of the... one of the bigger cats...
Mm-hmm.
Walks over and, like, smacks a smaller one and grabs it and eats it and pads up to the window. And in a gravelly voice says, "More."
Hello. I will give you more, but I would like to ask. I would like to ask you a question first. And then I throw out another one.
Get the priest. More.
And then I throw out a little bit more.
He eats them. And then hops up on the windowsill and you hear Yusuf and his wife gasp. And they turn and they're pointedly not looking at them.
Well, we're boned.
And he looks at you and says, why do you smell like me?
Me? Or him?
He's talking to you. Because you're talking to him and you had the food. Mm-hmm. Why do you smell like me?
I don't know.
Why do you smell like a temple cat?
I smell like a temple cat?
Correct.
Well, could it be that I have my friend here and I hand hand Murphy over to Sal.
Friction, why do you smell like a Bastet?
A Bastet.
Which is what they know is Murphy's race. Murphy's actual he's not technically a cat.
Okay.
He's a descendant of the goddess of cats, Bastet.
Oh, fuck. So, I hand Murphy over to Sal. I'm like, please, dude, protect him.
And you know, now you
are. So, I'm not sure why I smell like you, but it could be. So, I have a cat, and his name is Murphy, and he's over there. And I point to Murphy.
That's not a cat. That's a Bastet.
You're okay.
I'm going to have to call the priests now.
Why?
A Bastet has been found. This is a time to celebrate. Oh. We brought one home.
The question is...
He yowls loud.
It's okay.
Okay.
I'm going to look at Yusuf and I'm going to go, we're going to step outside now so you don't get into any trouble.
He pointedly doesn't turn around, but he says...
Oh my god, is this what brings the rain back? Is the fact that Murphy's here?
No.
No.
That'd be incredible.
But, he says, my family have a relationship with the priest. They won't do anything to us. You're safe as long as you don't leave. I can't protect you once you leave these walls.
So... Murphy, we need to have a conversation.
He looks up at you from Sal's arms. Yes, human?
Oh, no.
So, what do you know of your origins?
I'm descended from a god, obviously.
Yes. But how did you manage to get into our world?
He frowns and, like, thumps his butt down into Sal's arms. I don't know. I was little.
Yeah.
Like, really little. And...
How old are you?
He thinks about it.
Are you over 100 years old?
No.
What was the first thing you remember when you woke up? Or when you were here?
What is the first thing you remember?
How were the buildings?
He thinks about it.
Were they small wooden things? And then they started continuing to grow and...
I remember lots of clanging. Lots of yelling and people being excited about shiny things.
Oh my god, he's talking about cavemen.
No,
he's talking about 1949.
Oh god.
No. I think he's talking about the California Gold Rush.
1949.
That was the end of
1849. 1849. Shit. Wrong century. I'm good. I'm dumb. So, 1849. Yeah. The 49ers. Duh.
Yeah.
49.
Yeah. Just 18.
Yes.
So that's some dyslexic bullshit right there.
Yeah.
So
you do realize that Murphy is been either kidnapped or mm-hmm. taken. Mm-hmm. The question is how many of that litter was. Can you ask the temple cat how many are missing?
Okay.
He's speaking in sand tongue.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay. It's just like Murphy. Okay.
Yeah, he's a Bastet. He can talk.
So I'm gonna look at him and go, so how many were missing? And is it one litter or multiple?
It was one... I don't know what a female cat's called. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. It was one mother, one pregnant mother. The litter was supposed to be 10.
Oh, that's a pretty big litter. Okay.
It's big.
Bastets are always in the holy number. 10s, 20s. Usually 10.
So 20s, one mother was taken. Oh. But the question is, how did Murphy get into our world? So where are the rest of them?
When you, Murphy.
Yeah?
When you came, and you're remembering, were you by yourself? Like, basically trying to ask, like, if he remembers being with his siblings, or if he was alone. Mm.
I was pretty big even when the first thing I remember. I've probably been there longer. Okay. That's just the first thing I remember. I remember, well...
But I think canonically we said that I got Murphy when he was a kitten. So.
No, he wasn't a kitten. He was a full-grown cat.
Are you sure?
Absolutely. Check the record. Okay. Someone just listened to it. Yeah, you got him as a full-grown cat. You and you thought he was like 3 years old. That's what the vet told you.
Yeah. So the vet thought it was a young cat.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, not a 200-plus-year-old cat.
Gotcha. Okay. So.
And also, you'll know that, like,
you don't remember being with any siblings.
He says he looks at you and like the most sincere, like.
I swear to God, Murphy, if you say some sassy ass shit right now.
I'm pretty sure I'm a lot older than that. I remember Egyptian. I was not joking when I said I understood what they were saying.
But
I just thought I was reincarnated. But now with what they're saying, I think I'm that old.
I'm going to look at the sample cat and go, How often is there a litter?
Every 200 years or so.
When did this mother go missing?
10 litters ago? 15 litters ago? 20 litters? It's been a while. He says, he yells again. And a man with a blindfold runs up with a blindfold with cat eyes on it. You figure that's probably the priest. Owens up and it says, yes, great one, what do you need? And he says, when was the last, when was the great heist? And I have to look up when Egypt was at its height.
I swear to God.
Question is, would you have figured this out if I hadn't asked some of these questions?
No, of course not.
3150 BC. So, 3150 BC.
Oh my god.
So, 5
millennia ago?
Yeah.
So every 200 years, he'll give you that number. I'm not going to do the math.
250 liters ago. No.
So, I'm going to do 2...
Yes, 250 liters
5,000 divided by 200. Divided by
20.
Yeah, 25 letters ago.
Yeah, 25 letters.
25 letters ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
He says, I don't remember much. I think I got hit a lot or got hit in the head. And then I hid. And then I woke up. And then I woke up when there was lots of shiny things.
Okay, well.
Giving him a pharaoh costume?
No.
Yeah. So no, he's having to admit I'm not reincarnated. I'm probably just that old.
Just old.
Okay.
Now it makes sense.
I have my next research project.
Where are the rest of the Bastets? And are they alive still?
No. I'm gonna start with Murphy.
You two know someone who was. You know someone who was alive during that time. Or at least you know someone who knows someone.
Oh, they do.
No, they're a student with you.
Oh.
Granite's grandniece.
Okay.
Many times grandniece.
Yeah, that would do it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming. He must have been preserved in some sort of statue.
statues from Egypt.
Are you calling this Project Murphy?
Yes. In 1849. So did I catch it right with the Chinese?
Yes, it was 1849 during the Gold Rush.
stupid Mike.
No, you're good. You're good. I just wanted to.
But no, so the priest looks over and sees this additional Bastet and says, you know, Bastet be praised. Because they are named after the goddess who is their progenitor. We should, you know, please, you know, great one, come with us. We'll take you to the life you deserve. And he says, I'm good. I like this one. She treats, gives me lots of treats, and... He like leans away so you can't. He leans away so you can obviously still hear him, but he's trying to be. I think I'm getting stronger because she's with me. I get huge sometimes, and it's awesome.
Oh, Murphy, I love you too, buddy.
He jumps out. He jumps out of Sal's hand. No, he jumps.
No, out of Sal's arms. Let it happen. Come here, buddy.
He jumps away. He's like. No hugs.
Treat?
I do love treats. He lets you hug him.
Yes!
Fala and Yusuf are just like, they don't know what to fucking do. It's in their house. They're just like, we saw the cat, but we just didn't look at it because that's the rules.
You're not supposed to look at the gun.
Don't look at the Bastets. They're demigods.
Oh.
Like, don't. Just don't. We're not actually demigods, but they treat them like they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're hyper-intelligent animals.
Yeah.
That have magical fucking powers. Like the ability to turn into giant tigers with fire breath.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason he's got mojo.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't you. Well, it is you, but you're...
You're facilitating...
We're amplifying them. Yes.
They're amplifying each other.
Yeah.
It also explains some of your illusion abilities, why they're so powerful, because the cats have a natural thing to it.
Gotcha.
The tricksiness. But anyway, so the priest says, well, if you won't come, I have to report this tonight to the high priest. Likely they'll want to speak with you in the morning at the Temple of the Sun.
Yusuf, can you get us to the Temple of the Sun in the morning?
I can do that.
We will be there.
Actually, I have an appointment there anyway.
Okay. Then, yes, we will.
Also, the rain is vicious. And you notice all the cats have, like, a bubble of air around them that's protecting them from getting wet.
Boy, cats really want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
Stand out in the middle of the storm, watching everything go by
not getting wet. And you do see that the priest does not, but he has globes of, like, white crystal on his neck. Around it, you figure that he might be maintaining the bubbles.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He bows to you. He bows to you. He says, "Priestess," and then walks away. You were chosen, so you're a priestess now. He established.
Don't let it go to your head.
I'm not gonna let it go to my head. I'm just confused.
So,
I mean, technically, you are the wisdom character, so you can be a cleric.
Honestly, it's not a bad place to go. Ranger kind of sucks late. But anyway, so... Ranger...
Cleric.
Cleric is a good combo. It always has been. But anyway, not saying you should do that. Just saying that mechanically it's a good combo. But the best that you talk to is kind of sitting and he says, my name is Yaro. Y-A-R-O. He says, I was born after the Great Heist, but it's good to know that they're not, that at least one of them survived.
My suspicions are if they made it, if they're all in our world, they're all around. But I wonder... This conversation will wait until we talk to your priests, their high priests.
He probably doesn't listen to you.
Yeah, I know.
He's listening to the one who gave him food. Because they have a hierarchy. Now, if you give him food, he'll listen to you.
You know what you can give them.
Oh, yeah.
If you just give him a treat, he'll talk to you like you're a person.
I'm going to grab some catnip.
Okay, but you realize that Murphy's useless on catnip, so you would no longer be able to talk to them.
True, but I will give him a treat, and then I'll tell him I will have something special for him after.
He answers the question. And then he said, what was your question again? You didn't matter till just now.
If there are more from this litter on our world, I am sure they're still around.
We are naturally long-lived.
Yes, but if you all have some of his abilities, even if they're not as enhanced through the priestess.
The priestess?
Well, all of us have different abilities, but...
There's probably very little back from what I've put together when he's from that would cause them too much harm. The question then becomes the progenitor. Where is she from?
Here.
As far as you remember, she's from here.
When you say progenitor, do you mean your Bastet's mother or the goddess?
The goddess.
Here, the last 20,000 years.
Has she ever taken trips from here and away for years?
Of course.
Would she take a pregnant one with her when she went?
He narrows his eyes. Are you accusing the goddess of abandoning her children?
No, I'm accusing the god of taking one with her to be her accompaniment. Happened to her. I am not saying that she abandoned it, but knowing some of the people in my world...
Or perhaps we phrase this as she's spreading her worship to other realms.
Well, that's true too.
But I haven't given him any food, so he's ignoring
it. Yeah, I am.
And I could also just do this mentally to you.
Yes. But let's just say that I hope I'm wrong.
Well, you are human, so you're wrong a lot.
Yes, I'm sure.
Oof. And he turns around and he kind of whips you with his tail. He says, "You had something special for me before I leave?"
Yes. I'll give him a few catnip seeds. Grow it up. Fresh catnip.
He goes, "The good stuff." He says, "Boys, the good stuff." And then he kind of falls out the window. He catches himself and then runs off into the dirt. And it runs off. Kind of at an angle.
He's tilting.
So, do you have anything to talk about with anybody before we go to bed?
No, because it looks like the whole religious caste is treated separately.
That's in almost every culture. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah, they'll give us the stories that they want to know. We get the stories of what they want people to know, but not necessarily the answers that we're going to need. So, the question then becomes, we need to decide what we're going to take with us tomorrow.
And with that.
What do you mean bring with you tomorrow?
Are we going to pack up our entire gear and take it with us to the
temple. You have bags of holding. Shit.
Okay.
And with that, oh.
Yeah. Not quite yet.
Oh, okay.
So, when's the best Ed's leave? You know, minus Murphy. Yusuf and Fala turn around and say, so, Yusuf and Fala, you know, kind of say, you're going to, maybe you should understand how our people's religion works before going too much further.
Agreed.
Yes.
So, we have, obviously you understand the Bastet is the goddess of cats.
Mm-hmm. What a good goddess, by the way. Actually, she's quite evil. That's what I'm...
But it's cats and also home. And the hearth and, like, family. We have Sun God, whose name I hadn't sourced yet. I could go generic and just make it Ra, because, you know, fuck it. We're you know following what? You know, we're just going to use the Egyptian pantheon for this, because I know that well enough. We have Ra as the god of sun, healing, and royalty. The temple of the sun is where your meeting will be tomorrow. And then primarily it's them and Anubis. The god of the dead. And justice. Ra is the chief god, but Bastet holds his council. So they are second. And only the judges from Anubis can provide they're the only ones who can countermand what the other two do. But that's all they can do. As well as take care of the dead. You have caught the attention of the second most powerful deity with the largest priesthood. You'll need to be careful.
I repeat, we're boned.
I'm not... There. Here's the thing. As long as you're with a Bastet, they won't harm you. They won't touch you, because anyone who a Bastet chooses is sacred to them.
So, let's put it right. We're boned.
She's fine.
She's fine.
No. If you're allowed, if the Bastet lets you travel with it, with him. He does apologize.
Thank you.
Anyone within one generational link is protected. It's a familial protection. She's the goddess of family and homes. Your whole families are protected from them, and they'll know from the smell. Bastets have a particular ability to sense their own kind. Mm. You've all been touched by the Bastet. They won't touch you.
I mean, we are kind of siblings.
Oh, God, not again.
You're the one who had a shitty family. I had to, whose brother needed to be adopted.
Yeah.
What was I supposed to do? Let her not get adopted and make him a villain later? I didn't want to do that. But you and all of the people you care about are protected just by existing in the presence of this Bastet. So you should have nothing to worry about in danger at the temple.
Thank you, Murphy.
He says, I do what I can.
You're the best.
But if that's... But just the temple... But Ra? His priests are persuasive.
Hmm.
The sun is a cruel mistress.
And with that.
And with that.
There it is.
It's time to end.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.